So good to see all of your smiling faces. And as many of you know, Pastor Sam is away, and he'll be back on Tuesday. Is that right? Yeah, Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to having him back. And we've been doing a series on family. And today, we want to talk about marriage. Now, to be fair, me talking about marriage is sort of like a professional basketball player, let's say Kobe Bryant, giving a lecture about the ins and out of water polo, right? Not a whole lot of experience, which is precisely why major portion of today's sermon, we're going to have four married couples come up, and we'll have a panel discussion of sorts. I'll be interviewing them and asking them questions, and so that will be the main part of our sermon today. But I want to set at least a scripture foundation, a biblical foundation, and just briefly remind us of two things. So let's bow our heads for prayer. God, we thank you so much for this morning. And God, in light of everything that is happening in our world today, I think, God, it is no coincidence that today we're talking about marriage. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us. In your name, amen. As I told a number of you a couple Sabbaths ago this past May, I had the privilege and honor of marrying two of my good friends, Kyle and Eden Lieber. Now, as I was up there, I really didn't have a lot of time to soak everything up. You know, the whole time I'm thinking, Jeff, don't mess up. This is big. You know, don't mess up, right? But there was one moment while it was their premarital counselor came up and shared their story of how they got together. And she was talking, and Kyle and Eden were there in front of me. And I was looking out on the audience. A lot of people came out, 150, maybe 175, beautiful wedding up on Lookout Mountain there in Tennessee. Gorgeous wedding. And I thought to myself, man, all of these people flew from all over the United States for this one occasion, for this coming together, this union at one point in time. The wedding lasted maybe 35, 40 minutes. There must be something special about marriage, was the thought that I had to myself. A big deal. I mean, think about all the money that's spent. I think I read somewhere that the average amount of money spent on a wedding is $36,000, right? There must be something big about wedding. What is so special about marriage? And I want to share from Scripture two brief reasons. The first reason that I believe it is so special is because God made it. Amen? God made marriage. I mean, we as humans can testify that we make mistakes quite often, but God does not make mistakes. God doesn't mess up. And he is the one that divinely instituted this thing we called marriage. Before even sin entered planet Earth, marriage was in place. You can imagine there when God put Adam to sleep, he'd already made Adam, performed the first anesthetic, right? Put Adam to sleep. And there he makes Eve. And as that coming together happens, God says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God was pleased by this coming together. It began because of God. God was the one that ordained it. But the question that I have is this. Was Adam the only one made in God's image? I mean, was God made Adam in his image, and then Eve was sort of made in Adam's? Was that the way it was? I don't think so. Let's actually turn briefly to Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Both man and woman. Male and female, both were created from God's image. Essentially, when God made man, he took out of himself these two beings and put them together. God has the traits of both a man, he has the traits of a woman. We know that men and women are different, right? We know they're different. All right, typically, and obviously these traits are shared, but typically, you know, women are more tender and graceful and compassionate and listeners. They're the nurturers, right? Men have those leadership qualities and those that are in charge. And obviously they share both. That's not my point. But you understand that men and women are created differently. And as God created man and woman, with both of these traits that he shares, God is tender and gracious and loving. But he's also a God of justice and in charge. And as a man and woman are created, when they come together, they're forming God's image. They're forming God's image. God made marriage. That is the first reason why I think marriage is so unique and special. It's because God made it. But the second part is found in the book of Ephesians. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I just want to, we're not going to talk a lot about this passage. There's a whole lot of detail packed in. We don't want to get hung up on the details, but we want to look at the big picture, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21. Now, normally, I think it would be important to study it out from an actual translation from the original language, like New King James Version or King James Version or ESV or something along those lines, but I want to read to you from a paraphrase, because I believe that the author of this paraphrase Bible really hit the nail on the head. And again, we're not going to speak in detail about this passage, but I want to point out one thing, and I want to show you how this author renders this passage. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the same way that Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are a part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all, but what is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. Isn't that beautiful? Powerful description. And what the one simple point that I believe Paul brings out here is that God compares marriage to Christ's relationship with the church. He is the groom and we are the bride. And what that tells me about this thing called marriage is that the purpose, according to Scripture, of marriage is to glorify God. So that when other people see this home, this coming together, that people can say, wow, is that how Christ loves me? Essentially, a man and a wife are a team, a missionary team that are spreading to a broken and dying world the love of Jesus. Amen? And that is the purpose of marriage. God made marriage. He's the one that instituted there in the Garden of Eden. And the purpose of marriage is to glorify God. And so with that in mind, I know you really want to hear from those that are experienced. I want to invite those four couples to come on up. We'll set up chairs here in the front, and we'll ask them some questions. And while they're coming up, I just want to say that I thoroughly appreciate them willing. Some of them more last minute than others helping out. And yes, very, very much appreciated. Alrighty. Wonderful. All right. Why don't we each begin by just introducing yourself? So each couple, why don't you share with us your names and how long you've been married, and we'll say what you appreciate about your spouse. So your names, how long you've been married, and what you appreciate about your spouse. Briefly, let's begin that way. We'll start right here.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Linda and I have been married for three years and 4 months. However, we've known each other since about 1955, and we were separated by fate, I guess, for around 55 years, and we are truly, truly happy, and I think she's the most wonderful lady in the world.
What I appreciate about Martin is that he is a man of God. He loves the Lord. And every day he tells me how wonderful I am, which makes me want to be a better wife. So, and together, we have been married over 100 years to different people. So we have
experience right here.
Yeah. Least years with each other, but most together.
Awesome. And keep the mic, yeah.
Hi, Andrew and Eileen Kuninobu. This Wednesday will be our 25th wedding anniversary. So we'll have combined 50 years. That's not too bad, I guess. It was difficult for me to pick just one thing that I appreciate most about Eileen. I remember when we were dating, though, one of the things that I really was looking for was somebody that was, their heart was committed to God, and they were willing to do whatever God asked him or her to do. And it's that same quiet, calm, steady commitment to God that I continue to appreciate most in her.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is a hard question, but one of the things I appreciate most is that I can depend on Andrew to be the spiritual leader of our house and provider of many needs.
Good morning. We are Paul and Lisa Willis. We've been married for 19 years. That was May 28th was our 19th anniversary.
Awesome.
And but we've actually known each other for a while, since we were children. I've known Lisa since she was three. We have four children. What I appreciate most about Lisa is the gift of teaching that the Lord has given her. Even when she is not actively teaching, she is teaching. She, in our relationship, has taught me a lot. That's enough said.
Amen.
I think it's really hard to choose just one thing to. But what I really, really appreciate and thoroughly love is he is a very strong leader. Paul's a very strong leader. I know you guys know he comes from a military background, but even before then, very, very strong leader, spiritually, leads our family in worship two times a day, orchestrated a noontime prayer for our family, and financial leader, just everything for our home. Just I can, I feel very safe with him. But what really tickles my heart is I really love it when you sing to me.
Me too, Paul. I mean, not to me, but, you know, I like when you sing. So
I always like standing next to Paul when he sings because it makes me feel like I'm singing well. My name is Ken Molitor, my wife Bonnie, and in September we'll be married 46 years.
Amen.
We actually met in 1962, so you can add another 5 years to that. I think what I appreciate about my wife, most of all, of course, number one is her love, but also for her uncompromising compassion for others, especially those that can't defend themselves, whether they be adults or children or animals, and that has taught me a lot about compassion and a lot about caring and looking outside of myself.
Awesome.
This is difficult to choose one thing, but I've always said about Ken that it's his fairness. If I were to come before an earthly judge, I'd like it to be someone just like my husband.
Man, wow. Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And I want to open up these questions really to anyone here that would like to answer, and we don't have to go in order. But the question is this: what role specifically has prayer and or scripture played in your marriage? What role has prayer and or scripture played in your marriage?
Well, I'll take that one. Prayer and scripture has played a large role in our relationship. You know, from the time that we got married to the time that we had our first child, you know, we've been praying. I think with the birth of Gabrielle was where we really, really stayed on our knees a lot. She was born with a lot of difficulties, many things that you all don't see because you know Gabrielle as a loving, kind, gentle. Well, now she's a woman because she's 16 years old. So, but you know, her beginnings were very, very hard, and Lisa and I spent many days, I think a couple of months all told, with her in the hospital, you know, living at the McDonald House. And there was a lot of prayer and really seeking the Lord about what we should do. And, you know, asking why. And I think with Scripture, you know, that goes without saying throughout our marriage, but especially now that our children are grown, and well, not grown, but but they are older and able to more understand the scriptures. We have dug deeper, and we're reading the Bible, and you know, along with the prayer, Lisa and I have really taken this time that I am not working and just, you know, I retired from the military, but I'm at home right now. We've really taken this time to dig into the scripture and read about what the Lord wants in the marriage relationship and how we are to be parents to our children. This has really been a very good time for me, I think, to be off of work and to really come to understand my family.
Amen.
You know, I haven't been able to do that, you know, being in the military. So this has been a very good time for debriefing for me.
Beautiful. No, amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
When Linda and I first met, we lived 240 miles apart. So all of our communications were via the letter and written word. And then after we met, about 4 years ago, all of our communications were electronic format, emails and telephone and those kind of things. But she has an interesting aspect from the prayer point of view.
Well, we were so far apart that, and we had so many different things going on that I thought we probably shouldn't get married. And he was very persistent, and so I prayed that we had not prayed together. I knew he was a Christian, but we hadn't prayed together. And so I said, Lord, if he will call and pray, then I'll know you want this relationship to continue. And it wasn't 2 hours later until he called. He didn't say, hello, how are you, or anything. He just started praying.
Wow.
And so I started crying. Then I said, how'd you know? And he said, I don't know. The Lord just inspired me. But ever since that time, he would call. We were 2,000 miles apart then, early in the morning, and we would pray together. And then at night, we pray together. And that has continued. Before we even get out of bed in the morning, we hold each other and pray, and at night, too. And with our challenging daughter as well, we've had to spend a lot of time in prayer. And we have that time at each meal and whenever something arises, and we study the Bible together. And it has been a blessing to us to reach out to the Lord in prayer constantly. He is our guide and our companion, makes Amen. Us one with him and with each other.
Yeah, awesome. Beautiful, beautiful. And I want to share as well, Martin and Linda, when you guys mentioned to me that when you were getting to know each other and you were Skyping with each other, that you even had communion over Skype. Innovative, right? I was impressed. So, excellent. Yes, Ken.
Yeah, I think one of the things that it's been central in our marriage since we came into the church, we didn't grow up in the church, and especially I wasn't even a Christian, was the idea of ministry, a ministry to others. And we searched for so long for the truth that that became a focus, and we wanted so much to reach out to others. So we've always been involved. We've always had Bible studies in our home almost from the day that I started reading the Bible up to the present time. And I think that's really made our marriage strong, because our focus has always been on others.
Amen.
And not so much looking at ourselves and saying, you know, hey, there's a need here that needs to be fulfilled. And I really think that's what God's all about. You know, he's not thinking of himself. He's thinking about us. He's,
Amen.
He's
Beautiful.
Sacrificed himself for us. So I think that helps you, you know, get the proper focus in your life.
Awesome. Excellent, excellent. Why don't we move to the next question? How have you seen God more clearly in your marriage? How have you seen God more clearly in your marriage?
I could take a stab at that one.
Sure.
You've probably read or heard that you know, Enoch didn't really understand the love of God so much until he had children. And Eileen and I talked about that last night in response to this. But even more than that, in marriage, you know, our love for one another is not that warm, fuzzy, emotional thing that Ellen White talks as being infatuation. You know, it's a deep, principled love that keeps growing and getting deeper as time goes on. And even after 25 years, it amazes me how I can be more in love with this woman. And yet, just scratching the surface of how much God loves me, that he is infinite in love. And to sit there when I contemplate that is just awesome.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Anyone else? How have you seen God more clearly in your marriage? All right, we don't have to share. No problem. Anyone else? All right, we'll go to the next question. Obviously, we see here, you know, these beautiful smiling faces, and I know, though, that you guys have shared with me that it's not been perfect. Marriage takes work, as you just mentioned, Dr. Kunobu, and Specifically, what challenges have you had, and how have you overcome them?
I can hit that one too, if no one else has anything to say. This one spoke to Eileen and I because we believe really very strongly that adversity is part of what has made our marriage strong. And you want specifics in that question. Starting off, we got engaged when we were both in graduate school, and it was like a couple months after we got engaged that I kind of announced, maybe rather than doctor of health science degree or maybe an MD degree, maybe more what I'm looking for, which I'm sure wasn't exactly the first thing that on top of Eileen's mind was a great thing, So we got married, and then I started medical school a month later. And I wouldn't really highly recommend that for a marriage because of the time you spend in medical school and then afterwards in residency. Our residency was like that, but back in the olden days, when we used to walk uphill to school in the rain, or in the snow, right?
Barefoot, right.
Yeah, sorry. But, back in the olden days, residency didn't have a lot of limited hours and things. Ours, we chose one specifically that supported families, but those were the days that even residencies prided themselves in breaking up marriages. Some of them did. But that was an adversity, struggling with infertility, which many of you know about, was major. Then Eileen's cancer came along, and then a few years later, Emily's tumor came along, which many of you probably don't know about, which we won't go into detail about. But those were major adversities, and maybe Eileen would like to comment about how do you address adversity?
So each time, the only thing we can do is get down on your knees. And you just have to pray and leave everything to God. And that's what we did. No matter what happens, it's your will, God. And just relying totally on Him brought us peace. And going through each struggle brought us closer together and brought us closer to God.
Yeah, we weren't sure where to put this, whether the first part with prayer, like Paul and Lisa did, about when you're struggling with issues. The only place to find strength is on your knees. It is the only place. We're here only to glorify God, and that's what helped us. My partner is the one that came and talked to me and said, yeah, we just got the biopsy results. I think it's cancer. Do you want me to tell her you want to go home and talk to her? And I said, it'd probably be better if I just go home and talk. And I had no idea how I was going to take it. I was struggling emotionally because that very week I was taking care of a patient in the hospital who was dying of breast cancer at the age of 36. Mm. And here I was with my wife just being diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 32. And it was very, very difficult. Mm. Was it 32?
31.
Oh, sorry, 31. But yeah, it was close. That was hard, and but it was beautiful because when home we talked about it, we were on our knees, and the next morning I said, did you sleep? And she goes, peace. Awesome. Came, and awesome. She slept, didn't lose even one night, and yeah, those are the things that draw you close to each other and to God.
Amen. Thank you so much. Anyone else? What?
We certainly started out with challenges. I had mother who required constant attention, and Martin had Sierra. And fortunately for us, God prepared us before we were together because Martin had been trained as a nurse and an EMT, and I'd been trained as a teacher. So he helped me with mother all the time, and I've been able to homeschool Sierra. But just as they talked about prayer. Hmm. Without prayer, we couldn't have made it. That has been a mainstay of our marriage and working together and doing things together. Fortunately, because we're retired, we are able to do everything together, and that's been a blessing to have the Lord as the center of our marriage and guiding us.
Awesome. And Ken, were you going to, or Bonnie? Yeah.
No, for those of you who are not yet married, I think, or maybe not presently married, I don't want to give the impression that there's anything about marriage that's easy, even with God, because it is work. And it's work because we are brought up individually, and in our society, we're encouraged to strengthen that part of us that says we are an individual, and that's our individual nature that is most important. And God says just the opposite. So when you come together, you have to learn to submit. You have to learn to let go of everything you learned for 18, 21 years, whatever it is. Ken and I, at the time we married, we were not reconstituted to Christ. And shortly afterwards, thankfully, God came into our lives again, and we were both baptized together. And it's at that point we learned, it doesn't happen overnight, we learned to put him on the throne right in the center. And what we did is yield our own wants. And I had a long list. Everybody does. And rights. Because with your wants, you build rights. It's my right to have this. And God said, no, you have no rights before me. You have a right to die only because I gave you the right to life. And you haven't even handled that successfully. So I just wanted to, I always feel that when we're dealing with children or we're dealing with people that haven't maybe even had a successful marriage yet and they're now single, is that we understand it is not easy. And God is the whole in our center. And we come as imperfect halves. And I think that's one of the reasons he allows us to experience marriage is because our halves, only with his help, can we grasp the wholeness of Christ. You know, like Pastor, you were talking about left brain, right brain. But in him, we are made complete only as we submit.
Awesome. Amen. Beautiful. Anyone else? While if there's anyone else want to share, I just want to share one thing. I was thinking about my parents' marriage, my mom and my dad. And, you know, my dad is a pastor, and they've been married for, I don't even know, a long time. But I should know this. It's like 30 years or something along those lines. But, you know, my parents, you know, are not like you guys have been sharing. They've gone through hardships too, and they're not perfect. And I, you know, I've heard my parents, you know, have arguments where they discuss things. But something that I appreciated about my parents is that I saw on many occasions my dad or my mom apologizing to each other, and that's something that really stuck out to me as a young kid. You know, if there was a time that, man, my dad, you know, was selfish and said something out of line or you know, said something out that he shouldn't, you know, I saw him so many times saying, man, Allison, I'm so sorry I did that. And many times that he apologized to us kids as well. There are times when, you know, he got impatient with us and he would sit us down and say, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I wasn't like Christ and I need your forgiveness. And that really stuck out to me. So, yes.
One other thing about conflict resolution. As Bonnie said, you're your own person in a way, and you have your own wills and desires. So there's going to be conflicts. But we've always haven't been confrontational people. We've always come to the table and said, okay, what are the pros and cons of doing whatever this is? And looking at those and going down and evaluate. As an engineer, I always say, if you can't answer the question, you don't have enough information. And I think there's a lot of truth in that no matter what. And as you talk through those things and then put them in the light of what God wants you to do, I think a lot of your issues just drop away and you see clearly the path to take.
Thank you so much for sharing. What have you done in the last 5 years, last 10 years, that has helped or strengthened your marriage the most? What have you done in the last 5 years that's helped your marriage the most? Yes, Lisa.
The
This question that you asked really touched my heart, and I prayed about sharing a response. So several years ago, I prayed in my devotion, I prayed, Lord, I want to become more like you. I really just, when people see me, I really want them not to see Lisa. There's nothing good to see in me. I want them to see Jesus, because I want to see you, and I want all of you out there, people in the world, to see Jesus and to all of us to go home. Amen. And his answer to me was quite shocking. He led me back to my marriage, which I was confused about, because I said, I have a really good marriage, Lord, so can you focus it more on something I can do, because my marriage is great. And he kept leading me back to my marriage, so I said, okay, all right, what do you want to show me? But I was pretty much thinking I'd seen it all, and I went to all the typical verses in Colossians and 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, 1 Peter 3:1-6, pretty much had them memorized. Then the Lord started opening and revealing things to me that really hit home, and in particular, the verse that you picked in Ephesians 6:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And the Lord said, I don't want you to focus, I'm sorry, five, yes, I'm looking at the six, it was 5:33. I don't want you to focus on Paul, I want you to focus on you. And he highlighted the reverence part. So I began looking that up, and I said, well, I'm only supposed to reverence you, Lord. And he said, I want you to look at reverence, and it means respect. And I thought, well, I'm pretty respectful. You know, I was a very respectful child. That's something my parents would always say to people. Lisa's a very respectful, obedient child. So I thought I'd grow up to be a pretty respectful adult. And he began showing me things. And as I would interact with Paul, he would say, that was disrespectful. It was disrespectful, yes. When you finish his sentence, that's pretty disrespectful. He can finish his own sentences. When you answer questions for him, that's pretty disrespectful, because he has a mind, he can answer his own questions. When I would tell him my opinion about how something should work, the Lord would say, that was pretty disrespectful. You know, did he ask you? I mean, you know, you could wait and find out what he wanted to do. So I began to feel pretty shocked, and I began studying. And the more I studied, I began to learn about this concept of love and respect. And women want and need love. Everyone does, but women want that tender love, and we tend to give it very naturally. It's natural for us to give tender, nurturing love, and so we tend to do that with our husbands. We'll give them, you know, this tender love. And men respond, this is what I learned, to respect. They respond to respect. They want respect at work for the work that they do. They want respect for how they think or process things, and that was completely foreign to me. So I started studying about this love and respect, and without, when women, when wives don't get the tender love, they tend to be disrespectful, and then when men don't get the respect, they tend to respond without Christ, they tend to respond in non-loving ways, and you end up in a crazy cycle. And in order to break the crazy cycle, someone, it doesn't matter which spouse, has to, regardless, if it's the wife, regardless if she's not receiving the tender love she feels she needs or wants, she gives unconditional respect. That puts it in a husband's heart to want to give the tender love, and you begin this love, this cycle, a cycle that the Lord is really blessed by. So I began doing that and started asking Paul, is this respectful? Do you think this is respectful? And it turns out that we've had really great conversations about that. And I just look for ways now to really respect him, to appreciate him as a leader, to respect him as a man of God. And the Lord showed me that now when you're doing that, you're showing me respect, because I put your husband here as authority and leader in your home. And when you are respecting him, you are ultimately respecting me.
Thank you so much for sharing. Beautiful. Anyone else? We have just maybe one more answer. Anyone who'd like to share the last 5 years? What have you? Yes.
Well, it hasn't been 5 years yet, but it's been a tremendous 3.5 years, and we can honestly say there has been no disagreement at all in any way, shape, or form in those 3.5 years. And we had heard once upon a time that the honeymoon generally starts waning away after 2 years. Well, in our case, it's been growing more and more each day, and each day is better than the day before. And we cherish those few and rare moments and when we can be together alone, and it's just so wonderful. And we look forward to those. And, you know, even though I was married 50 years and she was married 48 years, the Bible tells us that we're limited to 120 years. Well, we can make 50 years in that before we reach 120 years. So we're looking forward to that.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. I just want to say, I think we only have 5 minutes here before Sabbath school starts. So thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And, you know, I'd like to say as well, and I'm glad, Bonnie, you mentioned this earlier, because I know that here in our congregation today, there are individuals that are in all sorts of circumstances. There's some that are not married. There's some that are. Maybe some have lost their spouse. And whatever the case may be, praise God that we can be complete in Christ. Amen. And I think that is really what Ephesians chapter 5 is all about. Whether it's your marriage being complete in Christ, whether it's an individual being complete in Christ, praise God that Jesus becomes what the world doesn't give us. And that missing part in our hearts that Jesus can fill. And I pray, and I know that we all pray here continually for families in our church, because Satan is clearly attacking families, is he not? You know, as you know, big decision in the Supreme Court this past week, and we know that as time goes on, that institution that God began of marriage and a home and family, Satan's going to continually be attacking, and so important for us to be on our knees as families. And again, maybe that's just one person, maybe that's two, but whatever it may be, praise God that we can come before him, we can get on our knees and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. And so I'm going to ask Ken, would you be willing to just have a closing prayer to close this time together and pray for the marriages, pray for everyone here that we can be complete in Christ?
Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you've given us this institution of marriage to reflect your love, to make us better understand who you are. And Lord, we just want to uplift you and thank you that you've given us happy marriages and that you've revealed yourself through them. And we just pray, Lord, in this world that's turning marriage upside down, that the marriage the way you want it continues to be strong and to be broadcast throughout the world, because it talks a lot about you. I want to pray a special blessing upon those who have spoken and upon the marriages in our congregation, Lord. Keep them strong. And let everyone understand that we all go through difficulties, we all have challenges, but we also want to share and comfort one another. So if anyone has issues or questions that would like to talk to any of someone else who's been married a while, that I'm sure that we're all open to help with that. Lord, we want to thank you for Pastor Jeff and his ministry, and and thank you for your Holy Spirit being present during this time. We pray your continued blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.